2. A short while later, we were all assembled around my dining room table eating gigantic stacks of pancakes. Jude had changed into clothes magically produced by Daharin. The wolf shoveled food into his mouth like it had been a long time since he had eaten a hot meal. Beazle was doing the same, but Beazle always ate like that. Samael, Daharin, and Nathaniel ate more sedately. I picked at my food, my appetite gone.
"You must eat something," Nathaniel said. "The baby is using too much of your resources."
"I'm not hungry," I said.
"She's feeling distraught because she won't be able to stop that moron from committing suicide," Beazle said, through a mouthful of pancake.
His chest and belly were coated in butter and syrup.
"Did you get any food in your mouth?"
Nathaniel asked, his face a mixture of fascination and repulsion.
"You ought to be used to it by now," Beazle said.
"There are some things to which I will never be accustomed," Nathaniel said.
"I couldn't care less about that fool of a blogger," Jude growled, breaking in. "What I'm concerned about, and what ought to concern you as well, was that shifter in your backyard pretending to be me. You've no idea of the trouble he's caused."
I'd nearly forgotten about the shifter and the kerfuffle over Jack. "What do you know about him?" I asked. Jude shoveled a few more mouthfuls of pancake into his mouth before continuing. Now that I looked at him closely, it did seem that he had a lean and a hungry look about him, and new lines were present around his eyes. He leaned back and took a large gulp of coffee.
"Remember when I left, before you destroyed the vampires?"
I nodded. "Beazle said you had pack business."
"I did. Wade contacted me because we urgently needed to move the pack. Someone had discovered we were werewolves and ratted us out to the townfolk. Before the vampire lord went on television, they would have thought the very idea of werewolves a load of rot. But after everyone in the world saw the night Chicago commuters having their faces eaten off by creatures of the night, the locals were more than ready to believe in our existence."
"And were doubtless gathering up their pitchforks and torches," I said.
"You're not far off," Jude growled. "We've always lived in isolated spots, staying as far from towns as possible. Even without knowing about wares, people aren't generally fond of wolves, especially in the country. Farmers and ranchers see us as varmints, and they shoot first and ask questions later, no matter what species protection law might say."
"But you have primarily resided on your own private land, yes?"
Nathaniel asked. Jude nodded.
"That's so.
If the land belongs to you, couldn't you keep people off it? Anyone who tried to attack you on your own property should be prosecuted," Samael signed.
"Should be is the operative term here," Jude said. "There are some who have decided that supernatural creatures don't have any rights to speak of, and those who have decided also have the ear of the local authorities."
He paused, seeming to swallow some strong emotion.
"They attacked us, chased us off our land, killed several members of the pack, including two cubs who got lost in the confusion. They hunted us until we were too exhausted to go on, until we were forced to split up and hide where we could."
I was afraid to ask. I wasn't sure I wanted to know the answer. "Wade?"
"Is safe," Jude said, "and so is his wife and daughter. But there are many other families torn to pieces in the last week or so, and my pack is scattered to the wind."
"Isn't there a safe place that you go when the pack is threatened?" I asked, remembering a fragment of conversation with Jude from long ago.
"Yes, but that place is under surveillance," Jude said. "We were betrayed."
Daharin spoke.
"Your pack was infiltrated by this shapeshifter."
It was not a question.
"Yes,"
Jude said. "How did it happen again?" I asked. Last year, members of the pack had been killed by Lucifer's shapeshifting son, Barak Yel. After Barak Yel and the kidnapping of Wade and the cubs, I'd have thought you would be on your guard against any newcomers looking to join the pack.
"We were," Jude said. "This shifter wasn't a newcomer. He wasn't like Barak Yel, pretending to be a lone wolf looking for a pack. He was one of us."
"A member of your pack gave you up to humans?" I asked, shocked. It seemed to go against everything that I knew of the family bonds of a werewolf pack.
"No. This shifter killed one of us and took his place," Jude said, "and there was nothing to reveal the difference. His scent didn't change. His manner didn't change. The shifter became our pack member so completely that we never suspected, almost as if it had swallowed the soul of the person he took over."
"So how did you discover the traitor?"
Beazle asked.
"We didn't. We didn't even realize what had happened until Wade and I came upon the body of..."